In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Sports Sunday On Demand, a Service Patriots podcast.
Is your heater safe? Why replace it when Service Patriot can restore it? Get their $59 27-point furnace tune-up and safety check, including a free 1-inch filter. They also check your AC for free.
Go to servicepatriots.com.
It's time for Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe.
Second and seven. Irving brings it back. Brick wall bounces outside. He's got a burst. Bucky Irving down the sideline. Touchdown, Oregon.
Brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company.
Ben takes the shotgun snap. Will Branson throws down the right sideline. An over the shoulder catch by Harrison. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown.
Explore the flavors of Oregon at Grillworks Supply Company in Beaverton or at grillworkspdx.com.
Football's so fun. This is our job. That's crazy. It's so fun.
Now, here are your Football Sunday hosts, Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher, on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
You're about to get it right there.
You're about to get this.
No, don't say that. I'm not scared of you.
Beer.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company. It is 8 a.m. for the second week in a row at the beginning of our show. And Rashad, I get it, man. I remember asking you last year about the whole, hey, why don't we just do like 8 a.m. all the time? And 6:30 wake up calls on Sunday morning? Not the move.
I don't know. It sounds like you're enjoying this, man. That was a really, like, spirited
gotta
intro.
Good morning, everyone.
Like, wow, it is 8 a.m., Joe. Put it down.
Got to flip the switch, all right?
No, you know? I mean, I like it.
If someone's up at this time on a Sunday, I mean, let's go. Let's get it going a bit here. You know, let's get it cranked up.
I get it.
Am I potted up here? Do I have my... All right.
It's lit!
There we go. Huh. Yeah. Let's wake up. Let's roll. I mean, they've been awake for 5 hours over in London watching Jacksonville and Buffalo. Pretty sure that's how time zones work.
Yeah, how often do you wake up for the London game?
Oh, never. I mean, this is
never wake up.
Wake up for this show, and the London game just so happens to be on. But I haven't even watched a second of it.
This is how it happens every single time.
I'm gonna put it on my phone
every time the London game is on. I don't even know until I wake up. It's like, oh, hell, it is on right now. And it's always like Jacksonville.
We need to.
So instantly I'm yeah, I can miss that game.
Because they're the closest.
Of course. Yeah. Even still, that's where I'm like, yeah, I can miss this game.
And nobody in Jacksonville really wants to watch them anyway.
Not really.
And you always hear about that game during the week, usually. Like maybe because it was like the Toy Story broadcast alternative last week, so people maybe remembered that Jacksonville was in London. Now it's like, oh, they were there for 2 weeks? I totally forgot.
Yeah.
I know that this is a thing with not just the NFL and other leagues, but having to expand into international regions. They really need to start diving into this and go really off the grid. Like, next week, Dolphins, Jets, Malaysia.
Atlantis,
Laos. Yeah. Just find me the biggest arena in Azerbaijan and let's throw an NFL game there.
Yeah.
Why not?
I get it.
You know they want them. Well, they would have to pay us. I mean,
Antarctica.
How about Saudi Arabia buys our sport?
Oh, don't do that.
They're already kind of
don't do that because they and the NFL will absolutely sell to Saudi Arabia.
Oh yeah,
that's the one league for sure.
I'm waiting for the day within the next year or two that it's like who would do it? Probably like the Colts or the Browns.
Yeah,
Ursay. Oh yeah, Ursay taking that Saudi money for sure.
No,
the Browns. 100%. They're going to have to pay Deshaun Watson for the next 10, 15 years, so might as well get some money from the Saudis for that.
And think about this. Of all the, like, commissioners and stuff, people that are in charge of the major sports, for sure, Goodell is the one that might be like, you know what? Saudis sounds like a good deal.
And I'm sure
I think we should take it.
I'm sure they could get. No. I mean, Shahid Khan, he's a Pakistani-American guy that owns the Jaguars, so... Got the connection, the creepy mustache. It matches.
That dude, I don't know what his links are to the Saudis, but that guy's story is amazing. That is a
Khan family is awesome.
The Shahid Khan, self-built billionaire, man. His story is it's rather impressive coming over here as an immigrant and then he worked in like a car bumper shop, like fixing bumpers and then... ended up buying the company from the dude, expanded it, sold it to like Toyota, and then you know when you sell things to Toyota, they usually give you a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
So
American dream, right there.
Yeah, I think he sold it to like a tire company, and then that got bought out by Toyota, and then before you know it, he's owning a soccer
and
team Tony and an NFL team.
And Tony Khan is his son.
I'm not familiar.
And well, okay, well if you weren't familiar, I believe Tony Khan is his son. And he owns AEW, which is All Elite Wrestling.
You would know that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And now the name does sound familiar.
Yeah, AEW Wrestling has become the number one rival of the great WWE.
Yes, and I have heard this Tony Khan name now that you
And I think there's another Khan that actually works for WWE, which is now has been merged with TKO. And so now is owned by, I believe it is. And now they are owned by... they also own UFC. So WWE is owned or partners with UFC.
I think it's the parent company of UFC owns UFC, WWE. That,
Could you imagine buying Odyssey? Like you work here as a host and you know, like Joe, obviously you do sales as well, but
just working your way up the ladder. I'm just going to buy the entire company.
Crush
it where I can just buy balling. You guys.
That is something that seems out of
the I'd work for you, Joe. You seem like you'd be a fair boss.
No, I'm not sure I would.
Well, I think the price would be pretty good considering, you know, if you take a look at our share price. But to continue on with sports talk and our Vancouver Ford text line, all texts to the Vancouver Ford text line are 503-864-6FAN. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. How about an international series where we alternate with Australia and it's Aussies versus U.S.? One game of Aussie rules football and one game of NFL rules.
I like it. Let's see who's tougher. Dude,
let's do it.
See like Joe Burrow out there in just like little skivvies and and a jersey. That'd be hilarious.
Just no pads.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing is that I've watched rugby before. I've watched the New Zealand All Blacks before, but as far as Aussie rules, there's
AFL.
There's decimal points in the scoring. Are you seeing this, Rashad? It says like
crazy.
Collingwood beat Brisbane,
Brisbane lost.
Yeah, they lost 90-80. Well, it says 12.18 to 13.8.
I don't know what that means.
And then there's a score in parentheses also. I'm very confused.
AFL helped ESPN get its start. Like, it was one of those obscure sports, along with like beer league softball, that ESPN was airing for the first few years of its existence.
Do we need to find like a local Portland Aussie rule? No, Please,
absolutely
don't.
Not. Please,
no,
don't.
No. Because if it's anything like rugby, I am going to die.
Well, and there's probably
you don't like rugby.
I like rugby. I'm just not the physique for rugby at all. I am not a 6'3", 285 brute that can just run down the field with like a 4.5.
You've 40. Got more of a sideline reporter type of body.
Oh yeah, please. Yeah, yeah. Or coach.
It's all good.
The coach that never played.
I would not be surprised if there were like a group of 20 dudes like that got together during this part of the year and played Aussie Rules football in Oregon, you know, got drunk and
I can almost guarantee it exists here in Portland.
I will say in Newburgh, very close to my house, there's a elementary school and some sports fields, and there is one that on the side of this like shed where I'm guessing they store all the equipment and the gators and stuff like that. Is it says in big logo Newburgh Rugby, and they've got a nice grassy pitch out there that I haven't seen. I don't know what year rugby is or season it is. I don't know if it's a spring thing or. But I don't think they're doing it right now because they got the kiddos on the pitch for soccer.
A buddy of mine is actually...
But if rugby's in spring, I'll go walk over and check out some high school rugby.
A buddy of mine that I used to work with actually plays rugby. And here's another thing. It's a black dude. Yeah. Black dude. He's got dreads and stuff like that. But he goes out there and he plays rugby. Now, mind you, he's the only one that's on the team. There isn't more than one.
This is in Portland, right?
It is.
The definition of a token black guy.
But no, but it's a brother from D.C. that's, which is like the blackest place in the world. Besides other places, obviously. Like the blackest place in the world? United States, for sure. Definitely not in the world. But either way, you're not going to find many brothers, from D.C. that play rugby.
No. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Portland Australian Football Club. Bam. PortlandFooty.com. How about that? Okay, these guys look like...
They look like you. That one looks like you right there.
I can... That's a... What? That... No.
Look at that one.
There's a chick right there. I mean,
yeah, you can play.
If she can lay a hat, then good for her. But see, this looks a lot like a lot of drills. I'm trying to drill. I am trying to get drilled. Pause.
Yeah, I don't want to get my shoulder dislocated by like the only chick on the team.
Are they the Portland Sharks? Is that their... Are they a shark or is that a salmon?
Sharks way better.
Am I about to be on the Portland Australian Football Club team?
I think you should. Listen, I think we should all try out.
Need to see.
I'll go if you do.
This dude's got a six pack. Yeah, no, I'm not joining.
Yeah, I'm not even close.
Hey, it looks like some post game beers though.
See, this is right up your alley.
That's
gray hair on that dude. I could easily be on this team.
Man, we got Boss Man on the team.
Well, so this is just a reason.
Wait, that's Jeff Sacramento.
This is just a reason for guys to get together and drink. However, you have to kill each other. So.
Well, again, these guys. I'm looking at the picture. These are a lot of 9-to-5ers. Yeah. Like, okay,
you find the black dude?
There's a brother.
There he is.
The token black guy.
There's always going to be one. He's right in the middle, too. Yeah. Just, make sure that you see us.
This is the exact description that if you had to say, Jordan, what would you think a rugby team in Oregon, what do they exist like? This is exactly, this nailed it, every single prediction in my head.
Dude, go to PortlandFooty.com. There is a women's team in it. Oh, they're the Steelheads. The men are the Steelheads, and the women are the Sockeyes.
I like the Steelheads. That's a better name than the Salmon.
The Steelheads.
We had a Sockeyes team here, and Steelheads. We're honestly kind of reusing stuff, aren't we?
I mean,
that's cool. I think we can bring back the Portland Fire.
Is that not an option for the WNBA team?
I heard that's not going to happen as far as the name, but unofficially official that Portland might be getting a WNBA team again.
Yeah. I would. I'm with it.
I'm cool with it too. But Portland
should be the Fire, but that's dumb.
Portland Steelheads. I almost just want a new era cap with that logo. Like that is a good looking logo.
Hmm?
That is. I mean, really, that's solid graphic design work right there.
Yeah,
that's
like it.
Solid graphic work design.
Yeah, I like it.
I need to email them about getting a cap, or I could just steal their logo and go to Lids.
We're giving a lot of free press right now, so maybe we can just get some hats. What's up?
I know Portland Australian Football Club.
What's up, Steelheads?
I mean, come on. Where do they play their games? I don't see myself joining the league, but
the Waddles Boys and Girls Club.
Let's see. Their next practice is this Sunday. But that's today, actually.
So can you go watch practice?
3 p.m., yeah. Should we go scout the...
We just show up and get ready to try out.
Oh, man. They got Nationals coming up in a few weeks, though. Good for them.
Okay.
Who's the star of this team? You've been replaced.
Hey, we what is it? We also talked about the women's football team, the women's tackle team that we had.
Yeah.
The Portland Ravens or something like that?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to remember what it
actually,
is.
Actually, oddly enough, and I didn't even realize it, but I follow
the Oregon Ravens, excuse me.
Lady that's on that team.
On like the IG or something like that?
Yeah, like I didn't realize it.
And the
it was
talk?
Like, she's always, you know, she's always kind of at least a little dolled up in the pictures. And then I was like, oh, shoot, you do play football, don't you?
The Fighting Shockwave, that's right. But there is the Oregon Ravens, Jordan, you are correct.
Yes.
So the Portland Fighting Shockwave was the one that we were talking about earlier this year. But yeah, there is the Oregon.
She plays for the Ravens.
The Ravens, that's a solid logo. The graphic design work for these ancillary teams in Portland and Oregon right now is just off the charts. Portland, the Oregon Ravens, that's a solid mascot too. We need to lean into more of our Oregon animals. Like, I know that the ducks, like there are ducks here, but we just have mallards. We don't have those white looking ducks really around. We need more whites around, white ducks. That is white ducks. Sorry.
I was like, do I need to pull that? Is that a draw?
White ducks? But I mean, the Ravens, that's a good logo. Hashtag we are here.
The worst logo slash team name of any local team is the Pickles. Like,
that's a solid one.
But their marketing is outstanding.
Oh, it's great.
Man,
it's
Twitter
amazing.
Account is so funny.
But the Pickles is the worst name. The absolute worst name.
I don't think it's worth it. That's a hokey baseball team name. Yeah. I give them a pass. Yeah. I mean, there's the Modesto.
The Hops was the best one.
What are those? The Modesto Nuts?
The Modesto
Or the
Nuts.
Birmingham Biscuits or something like that? Or
I mean, they got
the Montgomery Biscuits,
ones.
I believe. Yeah. All right. Enough of these ancillary sports. Let's talk some football. You want to talk some football?
Is that going on right now?
Oh, there's a lot of football. There is an Oregon Ducks football this weekend, but there is Oregon State football. We'll definitely dive into that. It was a chaotic Saturday. I'm glad that the Ducks were not playing yesterday because there was mayhem from beginning to end, it seemed like.
Oof. Until like 11:30 at night.
Bro, it was, and quite honestly, USC, it shouldn't have gone that late. But because of your ineptitude, it did. And we'll talk about coaches just being complete dumbasses yesterday because that was amazing to see. We got Who Do You Love at the bottom of the hour. Start taking a look at the spreads, the picks, who you guys want to take for this week. And then bottom of the second hour, we'll go baseball. We had some ALDS, some NLDS start yesterday.
I'm so sorry, Joe. I'm so sorry.
Hey, it's not a one-game series. We've still got plenty to go. But screw you, Jordan. I'm not happy.
Dude, you
had
screw
all, you. Had all his hats laid
even,
out.
My team
Joe had all his
playoffs.
Hats laid out like, which one should I wear for tonight's win?
Yeah, I'm going with a different routine on the golf course today. No Baltimore Oriole hat, and we'll see if that works out. No team colors. We're going to switch it up here. But we got a lot to get to. But let's get right into the local team. The Oregon State Beavers, they take on Cal yesterday, and they come out with a big offensive victory, but the defense, some question marks there. Let's get right into it. We got Jordan Schultz across the glass. Rashad Taylor, this is Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. right here on 1080 The Fan.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe. Brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Okay, last thing on the Oregon Ravens. When talking about women's football, can you use the same like vernacular as you would in men's football? Like me and Rashad were saying, like, can you call like a D lineman a hoss? Like, oh, she's a hoss, or are we?
I think you might have the social justice warriors coming.
Yeah,
for
or
you.
Like despite, Rashad also like, can you say call them the big nasties, the big uglies up front?
Those big uglies up front.
Despite no,
big beauties.
See, but that's sexist all of a sudden.
Exactly. That would be called out by the very hypocritical.
So I think
group
we have to, just for
out.
The sake of the
it's
game,
football.
I think we have to say. All those things.
Yeah, it's football.
You want equal, right? You want things yeah. equal. That is equal.
Yeah.
We're not talking about your appearance, like, other than on the football field, which is what we're watching.
Very true. That's what we refer. I mean, like, offensive linemen, those boys could be very handsome, you know, good-looking guys. But when you are an offensive lineman, you envelop the lifestyle of a lineman, and you take on the personality. I mean, like, look at Will Ortner's senior year picture. Of him at Central Washington.
It's like Travis Kelce.
No. Mullet. Disgusting long wet mullet with a disgusting beard. Like, you just got to embody that lifestyle. So if you are a woman and you are an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, you got to embrace
it. Because Will has cleaned himself up real nice now.
Dude.
Will's getting work out here in these streets.
He went from Central Washington, borderline homeless person is what it looks like.
Now he's Travis Kelce before the mustache.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, embrace it. Embrace your O-lineman status if you're a man or a woman.
And mind you, an offensive lineman has a move called a pancake. It's named after a food item. So it's true. This is what we're dealing with here, folks. Like, it is what it is.
Ooh, I don't know who's getting carted off right now, but someone for the Buffalo Bills looked like a linebacker getting taken off.
How
field.
Are you watching this game?
Thank you to Rashad. He got that Fubo hookup. Let's
Thanks,
go.
Rashad.
Well, don't thank me. Thank the Blazers for saying they were only going to be on Root Sports.
Oh, yeah.
And so if I'm going to watch the Blazers,
forced you into it,
had
though.
To get Fubo if you don't have cable. So.
And then if you wanted to watch the Beavs yesterday, you had to watch them on the Pac-12 Network, which will no longer
Why is that even still a thing?
After like, last or after this year. But yeah, it's kind of weird. It's very weird, but the
Colorado,
Beavers...
Arizona State, too. That was it's just weird.
The Beavers did play a football game yesterday, and it was televised on the Pac-12 networks against Cal, and they won! But it was a very very weird game. Like, this was the game that you had been waiting for to see out of DJU, but really, it was the defense that made you go, ew. It was DJU and defense ew out there. Like... You are giving up 40 points. I understand the last touchdown of Cal is kind of like a garbage time touchdown. The final score ends up being 52-40. It was 52-32 late into that game. So, Beavs, I think they had the lead. When they took the lead in the second quarter, 21-17, they did not give that lead back up the rest of the game. So they were basically in control. And again, seeing that performance from DJU, that is a huge confidence builder for him. Even after Aiden Childs came into the game and threw a touchdown pass, and it was a short drive for the Beavers. But you've been seeing Aiden Childs come in the last couple times now for the Beavers in a couple series. But to see DJU have that type of game, even after Childs comes in, like, okay, good for the young buck to get his. Here I go. I think he had 5 incompletions the whole game. It was great to see that out of him. So if you're a Beavers fan, like, you can breathe a little bit after that, but still giving up 40 points to Cal, the defense the last couple weeks outside of the Utah game has, it's got to leave you a little nervous if you're Beaver fans.
Oh, for sure. But I think more than anything, the coaching staff for Oregon State is still trying to figure out if DJU is the guy. And so I think otherwise.
I think this helps. I mean, 5 touchdowns.
It's definitely going to go a long way. But I think
you needed to see this from.
But
him.
I think he knows this as well. You know, so whenever you see somebody coming in and taking a couple snaps for special plays and everything, how many times did Mariota get subbed out so another quarterback can come in and run the Wildcat or something stupid, yeah, you know, zero. Like that. Very never
blow blowouts in the fourth quarter
because
maybe?
When you have your guy, you don't need to do that. And so I think there's still some apprehension about saying that DJU is the guy going forward. But I think, like you said, Joe, after throwing five touchdowns on 19 for 25, this is his best game that he's played thus far. You know, he did 97.9 QBR. This is his awesome game, 275 yards, five touchdowns, no picks. But it was guys like Anthony Gould, who was awesome, you know, with 117 receiving yards.
Silas Bolden is starting to turn into one of their biggest playmakers
absolutely,
by far.
Absolutely, absolutely he is. And then you got the, you know, the two-headed monster in the backfield with Damian Martinez and Deshaun Fenwick, who didn't have 100 yards, but still their attack on the ground when they start switching it up, like, it's hard to take either one of those guys down. And so they were both able to kind of, again, not get over 100 yards, but they kept it right around the same 76 and 89 yards respectively. But they did everything they wanted to on the ground, in the air, defensively, like you said, Joe. They were just absolutely nasty. Cal isn't a terrible team. They're not great, but they're not terrible. They were able to put up, you know, 40 points, you know, in this game. But overall, I just thought Oregon State was dominant from the beginning. And, yeah, here they are at 5-1. Oregon State 5-1. 6-7 weeks into the season. That's awesome.
Yeah, 5-1. Sorry, Jordan, I was just going to say, but after the Pac-12 slate, it sucks to see that your one loss came against Washington State, who laid a stinker yesterday. But I digress, Jordan.
Well, offensive side of the ball was all awesome, but I think Beavers' run defense was one of the best in the nation. I think like 5 or 6 best ranked run D coming in against a pretty anemic team in Cal on offense, and all of a sudden they go off for 240 yards on the ground. That's a problem. And then you talk about UCLA coming into Oregon State next week, or excuse me, I think, Oregon State is hosting UCLA next week, so that's going to be a good one. But the problem there is Dante Moore and that high-flying offense the UCLA is going to be throwing at you. Give up 40 points to Cal. Yeah, you have a week to get it right, but I see you give it up 50-plus to a team like UCLA and Chip Kelly. So that is a problem. Great to see everything on offense, though, but I am a little nervous about, two unknown running backs in a conference full of amazing running backs just ran the hell out of you. And along with, I love Silas Bolden's performance, but that turnover in the first half gave Cal a chance to take the lead. I think it was 17-14 at that point. I mean, I hate to focus on the negatives, guys, but those were a couple of points of real concern for me for this Oregon State team.
Well, I think that's just, as a Beaver fan, you have yet to see from them a complete game against a like worthy opponent like San Jose State, UC Davis, San Diego Woo. State. Exactly. That's your non-conference slate. Wasn't that amazing? And then right out of the gate, you lose to Washington State. And then you play Utah, which a win is a win. You held them to 7 points. But I mean, listen to Brandon Sprague after that show, and it was mostly what we were saying here on Sports Sunday. It was like he left a lot of meat on the bone. Like, it was not a very satisfying 21-7 victory by any means. So to see this on the offensive side of the ball from Oregon State against Cal, that leaves you very encouraged going forward as you go into this slate of Pac-12 games against UCLA, Arizona, who is now looking tougher and tougher Man. Every week that they play, and we'll get to that later as well.
Isn't Cal on like their second or third starting quarterback of the year too?
Possibly.
I mean, the fact that they laid 40 on you with just a guy stepping in, that's also a little weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up the rushing aspect. They had over 230 yards rushing on the ground, Cal did. But yeah, you're about to play some really good teams. UCLA, Arizona, Colorado, we've seen what they can do this year. They're up and down, barely escaped Arizona State last night. And then you get a pass against Stanford, but then you finish with Washington, Oregon. So to know that your offense can put up points when they're clicking on all cylinders is great, but you got to reel that defense in here soon. Like Trent Bray, like he had been, I don't know if it was a matter of being overhyped from last year's performance, but they got to reel that defense in soon, because if not, and they have to have a shootout, I'm usually going to give the nod to a lot of these other teams like UCLA. After Arizona, their performance last night against USC. Now USC's defense isn't great, but Noah Fifita, that was amazing to watch him ball out. Washington, Oregon, it's Oregon State. You're just hoping to get that full complete game on the calendar here soon from them.
Yeah, I think this is the closest one they've had to a complete game. I mean, obviously the UC Davis and you put up 55, but again, it's UC
Davis. And it's hard to say, like, well, those aren't complete games. It's like, yeah, they played a game, they played four quarters.
You won, and in that case, you...
It's the opponents, though. It's when you look at that standard of, like, all right, what should we be doing? What do we want to do against these teams?
UC Davis isn't full of guys that are probably going to go within the first, you know, 4 or 5 rounds of the draft.
If ever.
Right? If ever, right? There might be a couple guys.
New USFL draft other than NFL soon.
Yeah, exactly. You know, XFL is starting soon. So, there might be a guy there that's probably going to go to the draft. But those guys, and more than likely, he's a lineman or something like that. But, yeah, other than that, like, the talent level at some of these schools just isn't what maybe in Oregon State, you know what I'm saying, UCLA, all these other teams that can do great recruiting can do. So, yes, you look at those wins as wins, but this was the first time that DJU played great. Your running backs, you know, played really well for the most part, considering the number of touches they got. Your receivers, you know, all kind of came together and gave you a solid win. Your defense showed up when it was supposed to. You didn't get any takeaways, you got one interception, but that was about it. So everything worked the way it was supposed to. It's in conference. This is the first time they played a solid game all the way through for four quarters and didn't really have to work from behind at any point. So, I think UCLA is a little bit better than maybe what Cal is. But at the same time, I think Oregon State is still better than UCLA.
Well, and it probably doesn't give you a lot of confidence that the team that you lost to, Oregon State, you lost to Washington State, they went and just got absolutely embarrassed against UCLA yesterday. Like, Cam Ward looked like the best quarterback in the nation against Oregon State in that first half, throwing for like 300 yards in the first half. Yesterday, I think Washington State barely put up over 200 yards total offense against UCLA. I mean,
and that's the meat grinder that the Pac-12 is, or has been.
Something happens.
Beat up on like each other all the time, you know, and that's just kind of, you know, what it is. Like, we don't wait until the Pac-12 championship to get the two best teams to play each other typically. Usually that's happening in season. We can't really say that they're the same about the SEC.
No, and it keeps
like
us out.
Georgia and Alabama
playoff.
Won't play each other until the SEC championship in most cases. Oh, and so
Washington State had 216 total yards against UCLA yesterday.
Four turnovers as well.
Tough break.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So Oregon State's got this UCLA team coming in to town next week. That's the good thing is it is a home game at Corvallis. I'm not sure if the kick time has been announced yet for that. If not,
I like to move them around.
We'll probably get it tomorrow. Oh, no, we got it. 5 p.m. at Research Stadium, UCLA at Oregon State. 5 p.m. kick. And then, of course, the big game of the week going to be in game day. Game day is going to be there, Oregon at Washington. And Washington State fans, you have the chance to do one of the best things in ESPN College Game Day history, and that is to completely infiltrate Seattle and take over Game Day and have as many Washington State fans, because we've heard the stories of McAfee and Game Day and Washington State button heads over the last couple weeks. They're coming to your state. I don't care if it's Seattle. I don't care if it's Washington campus. There aren't rules as to who can be there. Washington State fans, please, please show up in droves with a million Washington State flags, and get, for us, for Oregon fans, get into the kitchen of a Washington State Husky fan.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they just totally overtook,
right out the gate, Washington would be shook. Watching that 6 a.m. broadcast, they'd be like, what the hell is going on? I'd love it.
Well, please. McAfee needs to figure out that he's had an ass take on this, too. Because he is one that won't really admit when he's wrong, it seems like. A great broadcaster a lot of the time. I get his shtick, but this is just, he's way off.
Yeah. So, Washington State fans, do the right thing here. Do the right thing. Let's get into the chaotic Saturday that was, though. Within the Pac-12, concerning coaches that used to be in the Pac-12, and concerning the Big 12 between Oklahoma and Texas, because that game was insane as well. Get to all of that next here on Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillwork Supply Co. But first, Jordan Schultz, SportsCenter update. Do any of us think we could coach the end of a college football game any better than what Lincoln Riley or Mario Cristobal did yesterday? Because I truly think that we could. Like, we play enough Madden.
Hold on, I'm thinking right now.
That's a great way to preface this, right? Like, I play enough video games, right?
To be able to
I'm
know.
A Madden guy, but I really think here.
But
good,
hey,
good job, Joe.
Tyreek Hill says that he uses Madden to study football, all right?
To study football, not to use it for coaching. Different. using it to study the different attributes of players and their best skills.
Okay, so I am still a 99 speed on Madden. Okay, sounds good. Yeah, that's exactly. That's about the studying he's doing. Okay, so this guy's trash.
He's a 76 press coverage? Oh, okay.
I'll cook him.
To kill him.
But, I mean, where do we want to start? I think we got to start in conference. USC last night plays Arizona, and tip of the cap to Arizona. They've been playing their ass off the last couple weeks.
Absolutely. Nobody thought Arizona would be 3-3 at this point.
They were part of the, four schools that everybody thought was just going to be trash. Stanford, Cal, and the Arizona schools. Those were the four schools this year. Everybody was like, I don't know what to expect. But Arizona against Washington last week, and then USC last night. They had no business being in that game late. They were down 28-20. And I mean, they were in the game basically the entire time. But then they go and USC allows them to score late, 28-28 to score. This isn't even the worst part. USC gets the ball back, is able to drive and get the ball down to about the 6-yard line with 30 to 40 seconds left. Field goal territory, easy chip shot, don't overthink it, just get the ball to the point in the field where the kicker wants it. What hash does he want it? Take the knee. They have a timeout also, mind you, so they could run this clock down all the way to 2 seconds, call the timeout, and kick the field goal.
It's set up perfectly for you. You have everything you need in this situation, essentially.
So they get their first down at the 6-yard line. What do? They run an RPO, and Caleb Williams actually passes it, and it goes zooming behind the wide receiver for USC, right in front of Arizona's face, and it was not sure why we're doing that, but okay. Even Brock Osweiler on call is not necessary. The very next play, they run a read option where Caleb Williams and the running back, neither of them really takes the ball, and the ball falls to the turf and fumbles, and luckily Caleb Williams jumps on it, so they get the ball back. And then instead of calling a timeout, they scramble to get on the ball to spike it. You have a timeout. And then they go and spike the ball with 2 seconds left. Lincoln
and
Riley.
I'm not sure what if they thought they were going to get 2 plays of that or whatever, but that was weird.
And then pans to Lincoln Riley, and he's going calm down, doing the hand motion, let's relax here. Then they line up for the field goal to win the game, right? Chip shot. This is it. USC, you lucky bastards. High snap. The holder has to jump up. He then squats to put the ball on the ground. He's in a squatting position to try and tee the ball up for the kicker. The timing's all off. Kicker then pooches the ball 2 yards in front of him into the crowd of players. USC's long snapper breaks his hip. He's on the field for another 5-10 minutes, it seems like. Pure chaos. We're going to overtime. It was one of the most terrible clock management I've seen just that day, because really the worst, it goes to Mario Cristobal in Miami. Oh my God. I
remember how upset you guys were when Mario Cristobal left. Well, who's laughing now?
I cannot believe he did it again. This is 2018 Stanford all over again. Basic math, basic time. Again, we play Madden, okay? Even in Madden, I know. Sweet. All right, bam. I'm done. I'm taking my knee. 10-year-old Joe playing Madden is trying to throw up some Hail Marys late to run up the score. Me, I see the victory. I'm taking the knee. Do the math. Miami, all they had to do was take a knee. Georgia Tech had no timeouts. Instead, they run the ball, and what makes it worse is Miami's running back was probably down, but they called a fumble on the field, couldn't overturn it. Georgia Tech gets the ball back. Georgia Tech gets the ball back with 35 seconds left, goes down the field and scores, and they win the game against Miami. It was a masterclass.
Oh, the party at Georgia Tech was lit.
I wish I would have been there.
I wish I was at Hard Rock Stadium last night with those Miami fans to see what the reaction was like. There was a clip of the offensive lineman from Miami literally going, "What the F are we doing?" with tears in his eyes. "What the F are we doing?" He looked like he had just gone to war for his country for the last 5 years and just came back. It was Again, I thought the Mario Cristobal, it takes the cake for being the worst because they lost. But to see him do that and then Lincoln Riley the very same night, it's like, what? Am I taking crazy pills? What's going on?
I think the most astounding thing of all this is you've got, what, like 25, 30 staff members on each sideline?
Yes.
It's not just the head coach that this is left to. Usually, I've brought this up many times in the last year I've worked here on The Fan. There's somewhere on a college sideline.
There's a one dude on a headset like, hey, we should probably just take a knee.
Clock management dude. Is there not a clock management guy on your staff? And if there isn't, there should be, Mario. You're a moron. And Lincoln Riley, obviously way too egotistical to do something like that, especially at USC. But God, that's just, yeah.
Shut up, nerd. We're running the ball. Like, that is... And then his explanation, Cristobal, is at the end. Like, he tried to give us the math explanation, which I'm like, I don't care what your explanation is because the math worked out, bud. Do the math. You could have taken a knee. And then he even was like, you know, we talked about covering the ball with both arms. It's like, do not.
But here's the cool part. If you look at ESPN, it says Mario Cristobal not making any excuses.
Well, because he literally, made a bunch of excuses, he said at the end, no excuses.
No excuses. Yeah. Like, yeah, no. You just gave, like, three as far as why this happened, but Mario Cristobal is still a good coach. Miami is in a much better spot than I think either of us thought that they would be.
I thought they would have been in a better spot today because they should be undefeated.
Yeah, should be undefeated, but they're still four and one. You know,
they started off the season really well.
They did. A few blowout wins, you know, just to start the season. It doesn't get any easier for Miami. You know, they've got North Carolina coming up.
Who's been playing great.
And then, of course, you got Florida State and Louisville all in conference. You know,
Louisville with a big win against Notre Dame
Louisville
last night.
Louisville killed Notre Dame.
Throw up the L, Jack Harlow.
And everybody collectively rejoiced. I don't know. I think Notre Dame is the one team that's probably the most hated college football team, not named Alabama.
I don't know. It could be the team that lost yesterday in the Red River rivalry.
Texas, potentially. Texas. Do people still hate Texas, though?
Yes. Yes. I think Texas is along the lines of Cowboys, Yankees, Lakers.
Because Cowboys, Yankees, Lakers fans suck. That's why people don't like
Texas fans suck, too. Texas, really? How long has Texas been back for? Texas is back to not being back. Like, this happens every year with Texas.
Yeah, honestly, the Cowboys, right?
What did I just say? I said compare them. They're like the Yankees. Yankees are supposed to win a World Series every year, too, right? I'm so happy. Like, I don't like Oklahoma, but that was a team going into this year where I was like, dude, they got to have a good year because it did not go well last year. This very game last year, they lost 49-0. So Dylan Gabriel, who's been balling out this year, leading up to this game, I was like, dude, I hope he has a great game because all the talk was Texas. All the talk was Quinn Ewers. Dylan Gabriel, that last touchdown pass when the pocket was closing in on him, find the dude in the back of the end zone, unreal. Just an unreal Saturday.
It looked like he was about to go down, too, for a second. And then found his guy in the back of the end zone.
That was insane.
Yeah. But, Quinn Ewers.
He responded really well.
He did.
Talk about a crazy game. That's the same.
He did. But if you look at the touchdown interception ratio, you'd say, okay, he had a terrible game. But he still threw 346 yards and was 31 for 37 on the day. Like, he did what he was supposed to do. Unfortunately, when it came down to it, Dylan Gabriel made his one great play. There was a lot, but that was the one great play.
He's been balling out, dude.
No, I'm saying for that game, for yesterday's game, you know, Dylan Gabriel played really well. 23 for 38. So if you look at those numbers, you're like, one touchdown, 285 yards. Nothing you're not blown away by those. It's when the touchdown came. Late in the game, right there, back of the boom, touchdown, game's over. Like, that's awesome.
Super happy for Oklahoma knocking down Texas. I always love to see that.
So wait, what's the difference between Oklahoma and Texas?
What do you mean?
Oklahoma hasn't been almost as dominant throughout their...
I'd say that the last 15 years, Oklahoma has had much more success than Texas. At least getting to the playoffs and having Heisman-winning quarterbacks. I mean, Oklahoma, that's why this year was super important because it's 6-6. I mean, you can't go from 6-6 Oklahoma to 7-5. Like, you've got to bounce back.
It is always so weird when, you know, people talk about, like, Oregon's, I will say, success, but they will say lack of success. It's like, oh, how many championships has all that Uncle Phil money gotten you? Well, got us two appearances here over at Oregon in the National Football League. like championship games. So like slow your roll. We talk about Texas, Oklahoma. How many times have they been there in the last 10, 15 years? Oh, wait, crickets.
Yeah. Well, and I think that I think the problem with them is that they actually like they just have a championship in their history. So it's like, you know, the Oklahoma.
They got seven.
Yeah. Texas has a championship. So like.
And that's what I'm saying. Like as far as like these powerhouses that are, you know, that are out there, like Oklahoma, for as far as college football lore, they're one of them ones.
They are?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they've had, the playoff appearances, the quarterbacks is great. But I hear you, Jordan. It's like they are one of the best schools over the last 10 to 15 years that haven't gotten it done. But
welcome
to the world of SEC ruling everything.
Is sports not a what have you done for me now lately kind of world?
Like, no, I hear you, you know. Man. And that's, and so kudos to Oklahoma for stepping up big yesterday. Kudos to Georgia Tech for stepping up big yesterday. Listen, as a man, love Mario Cristobal. I think he's a great leader of young men. As far as clock management and game management goes, yikes. That guy, best of luck to you in the future on that, pal. And then USC, Lincoln Riley, can you just lose? Can you just take an L?
No.
I mean,
can we stop?
Caleb Williams can't lose, man.
Come on.
No, he can because they almost did. They escaped last night.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
No, there's going to be.
Almost doesn't count.
There's going to be so much talk this week that Caleb Williams is still a Heisman Trophy leading candidate. It's like, why? No.
Yeah,
to repeat after this, he had a great year last year. After this kind of game, you cannot pull an Archie Griffin and win two Heismans in a row. You have to go perfect. You have to look perfect throwing 3 to 5 touchdowns every game and like maybe a couple of interceptions along the way.
But you know what they're going to look at?
He looks pretty damn good
to me. They're going
to
look at those clutch game-winning Tim Tebow jumping pass touchdown at the end of the game where it looks like you're going to lose.
How many times did Tim Tebow fumble it that year, though?
He did. It's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get up. And like that was one of the moments last night when you're, what are they? Second and number one, they were first and long at a point.
Yeah, they were first and 20 in that overtime.
And had to go back and then was like 12 yards away and said, you know what? Screw it. Give me the ball. I'm going to finish this game.
They were also in that situation because, like you said, Joe, at the end of the game, that fumble, nobody took the ball on that RPO.
Yeah, that's one play, dude. Like USC,
that's the play, though.
USC isn't in any of these games if they don't have Caleb Williams. That dude has every Saturday night, right. He is having to go out there and play when he shouldn't have to because his defense is giving up points. Last night, how many times have you seen USC seemingly sit out a third quarter or sit out a fourth quarter, their first string offense? It seems like he never gets that chance because he always has to go back out there and save them.
And this is what they're going to think about too, Jordan. Yes, he was 219 yards through the air and a touchdown. He was also 3 touchdowns on the ground, including the game-winning 2-point conversion.
Contorted his body sneak the ball in.
Look, I'm going to be out of bounds and reach with the opposite hand around to do that's difficult to do. And so, I understand, he didn't light the world on fire through the air, but he did end the game with 4 total touchdowns, no picks, and the game-winning score that pretty much put it away. And then, all of a sudden, here comes the defense to plug up that, that toss play or whatever it was at the end. And, so sometimes the trigger man ain't going to be great through the air, but what do you do at the end of the game? And I think that's what people are looking at.
I get it. I know we got to go. Those short runs, though, don't impress me. If he's putting 30 yards down into a tutty like 3 times a game, I get it. I get it. But I don't see it. That's just my opinion.
Well, you'll see it when he raises his second Heisman in December, bud.
They want to do that. They want to give somebody a Heisman twice. They don't want to keep saying Archie Griffin's the only person to ever do it. They don't want to do that.
Hey, I think we got a good chance this year. Who do you love up next? Get your picks ready. Get your picks ready, fellas, because we got to do some against the spread, over-unders, whatever the hell you want to put theoretical dollars on. We do that next. Who do you love? Football Sunday.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Y'all want to win? Put Booby in. Let me spin, coach.
Yeah.
I was telling someone the other day that I probably, during football season, reference Friday Night Lights, the movie, 2 to 3 times a week during football season.
I'm trying to see what my favorite line from Friday Night Lights is.
I would have to go.
Why can't you hold on to the ball?
Donnie. Damn it, Donnie. Hold on to the ball. Or when the guy at the burger stop is like,
Billingsley! Party at Taylor's house now, Billingsley! We're gonna get wasted!
Isn't that guy like 45? Yeah, Odessa, yeah. Baby. That's how they turn up in Odessa, Permian.
I skipped work to go watch that movie. I was like, man, I don't want to go to work today. I'm going to take a day off.
Oh, I think we watched it.
And I'm going to go ahead and go to the movies.
I think we watched it the day of a football game. So, like, we watched that, and then we went into our football game, just piss and vinegar.
Ours was Varsity Blues.
Oh, man.
So we would watch it Friday night, or excuse me, Thursday night or something like that as a team, and then go out there and get smacked by 20.
We all went as a team and saw Remember the Titans together.
Ooh,
remember
that's
that
a good
as a
one.
Kid. So we all got fired.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Do any of us think we could coach the end of a college football game any better than what Lincoln Riley or Mario Cristobal did yesterday? Because I truly think that we could. Like, we play enough Madden.
Hold on, I'm thinking right now.
That's a great way to preface this, right? Like, I play enough video games, right?
To be able to
I'm a Madden guy, but I really think here.
But good job, Joe. Tyreek Hill says that he uses Madden to study football, all right?
To study football, not to use it for coaching. Different using it to study the different attributes of players and their best skills.
Okay, so I am still a 99 speed on Madden. Okay, sounds good. Yeah, that's exactly. That's about the studying he's doing. Okay, so this guy's trash.
He's a 76 press coverage. Oh, okay.
I'll cook him.
To kill him.
But I mean, where do we want to start? I think we got to start in conference. USC last night plays Arizona, and tip of the cap to Arizona. They've been playing their ass off the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Nobody thought Arizona would be 3-3 at this point.
They were part of the four schools that everybody thought was just going to be trash. Stanford, Cal, and the Arizona schools. Those were the four schools this year. Everybody was like, I don't know what to expect. But Arizona against Washington last week, and then USC last night. They had no business being in that game late. They were down 28-20. And I mean, they were in the game basically the entire time, but then they go and USC allows them to score late, 28-28 to score. This isn't even the worst part. USC gets the ball back, is able to drive and get the ball down to about the 6-yard line with 30 to 40 seconds left. Like, field goal territory, easy chip shot, don't overthink it, just get the ball to the point in the field where the kicker wants it. What hash does he want it? Take the knee. They have a timeout also, mind you, so they could run this clock down all the way to 2 seconds call the timeout and kick the field goal.
It's set up perfectly for you. You have everything you need in this situation, essentially.
So they get their first down at the 6-yard line. What do? They run an RPO, and Caleb Williams actually passes it, and it goes zooming behind the wide receiver for USC, like right in front of Arizona's face, and it was like, not sure why we're doing that, but okay. Even Brock Osweiler on call is like, not necessary. The very next play, they run a read option where Caleb Williams and the running back, neither of them really takes the ball, and the ball falls to the turf and fumbles, and luckily Caleb Williams jumps on it, so they get the ball back. And then instead of calling a timeout, they scramble to get on the ball to spike it. You have a timeout! And then they go and spike the ball with like 2 seconds left. Lincoln
and
Riley.
I'm not sure what if they thought they were going to get two plays of that or whatever, but then, that was weird.
And then pans to Lincoln Riley, and he's going like, calm down, like doing the hand motion, like, let's relax here. Then they line up for the field goal to win the game, right? Chip shot, this is it, USC, you lucky bastards. High snap, the holder has to like jump up. He then squats to put the ball on the ground. He's in a squatting position to try and tee the ball up for the kicker. The timing's all off. Kicker then pooches the ball like 2 yards in front of him into the crowd of players. USC's long snapper breaks his hip. He's on the field for another like 5-10 minutes, it seems like. Pure chaos. We're going to overtime. It was one of the most terrible clock management I've seen just that day. Because really, the worst, it goes to Mario Cristobal in Miami. Oh, my God. I
remember how upset you guys were when Mario Cristobal left?
Oh, yeah.
Well, who's laughing now?
I cannot believe he did it again. This is 2018 Stanford all over again. Basic math, basic time. Again, we play Madden, okay? Even in Madden, I know, sweet, all right, bam, I'm done. I'm taking my knee. 10-year-old Joe playing Madden is trying to throw up some Hail Marys late to run up the score. Me, I see the victory. I'm taking the knee. Do the math. Miami, all they had to do was take a knee. Georgia Tech had no timeouts. Instead, they run the ball, and what makes it worse is Miami's running back was probably down, but they called a fumble on the field, couldn't overturn it. Georgia Tech gets the ball back. Georgia Tech gets the ball back with like 35 seconds left, goes down the field and scores, and they win the game against Miami. Like, it was a masterclass.
Oh, the party at Georgia Tech was lit.
I wish I would have been there.
I wish I was at Hard Rock Stadium last night with those Miami fans to see what the reaction was like. There was a clip of the offensive lineman from Miami literally going, "What the F are we doing?" with tears in his eyes. "What the F are we doing?" Like, he looked like he had just gone to war for his country for the last like 5 years and just came back. It was, I thought the Mario Cristobal, it takes the cake for being the worst because they lost, but to see him do that and then Lincoln Riley the very same night, it's like, what? Am I taking crazy pills? What's going on?
I think the most astounding thing of all this is you've got what, like 25, 30 staff members on each sideline?
Yes.
It's not just the head coach that this is left to. Usually, I've brought this up many times in the last year I've worked here on The Fan. There's somewhere on a college sideline.
There's a one dude on a headset like, hey, we should probably just take a knee.
Clock management dude. Is there not a clock management guy on your staff? And if there isn't, there should be, Mario. You're a moron. And Lincoln Riley, obviously way too egotistical to do something like that, especially at USC, but God, that's just, yeah.
Shut up, nerd. We're running the ball. Like, that is... And then his explanation, Cristobal, is at the end, like, he tried to give us the math explanation, which I'm like, I don't care what your explanation is, because the math worked out, bud. Do the math. You could have taken a knee. And then he even was like, you know, we talked about covering the ball with both arms. It's like, do not.
But here's the cool part. If you look at ESPN, it says Mario Cristobal not making any excuses.
Well, because he literally, made a bunch of excuses, he said at the end, no excuses.
No excuses. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, you just gave, like, three as far as why this happened, but Mario Cristobal is still a good coach. Miami is in a much better spot than I think either of us thought that they would be.
Well, no, I mean, they would have been in a better spot today because they should be undefeated.
Yeah, they should be undefeated, but they're still 4-1. You know,
they started off the season really well.
They did. They did a few blowout wins. You know, just to start the season. It doesn't get any easier for Miami. You know, they've got North Carolina coming up,
who's been playing great,
and then of course you got Florida State and Louisville all in conference. You know,
Louisville with a big win against Notre Dame
Louisville
last night.
Killed Notre, and I
throw
think
up the L, Jack Harlow,
and everybody collectively rejoiced. I don't know. I think Notre Dame is the one team that's probably the most hated college football team, not named Alabama.
Well, I don't know. It could be the team that lost yesterday in the Red River rivalry.
Texas, potentially.
Texas.
Do people still hate Texas, though?
Yes. Yes. I think Texas is along the lines of Cowboys, Yankees, Lakers.
Because Cowboys, Yankees, Lakers fans suck. That's why people don't like
Texas fans suck, too. Texas, really? How long has Texas been back for? Texas is back to not being back. Like, this happens every year with Texas.
Yeah, honestly, the Cowboys, right?
What did I just say? I said compare them. They're like the Yankees. Yankees are supposed to win a World Series every year, too, right? I'm so I don't like Oklahoma, but that was a team going into this year where I was like, dude, they got to have a good year because it did not go well last year. This very game last year, they lost 49-0. So Dylan Gabriel, who's been balling out this year, leading up to this game, I was like, dude, I hope he has a great game because all the talk was Texas. All the talk was Quinn Ewers. Dylan Gabriel, that last touchdown pass when the pocket was closing in on him, find the dude in the back of the end zone, unreal. Just an unreal Saturday.
It looked like he was about to go down, too, for a second. And then found his guy in the back of the end zone.
That was insane.
Yeah. But, Quinn Ewers.
He responded really well.
He did.
Talk about a crazy game. That's the same.
He did. But if you look at the touchdown interception ratio, you'd say, okay, he had a terrible game. But he still threw 346 yards and was 31-37 on the day. Like, he did what he was supposed to do. Unfortunately, when it came down to it, Dylan Gabriel made his one great play. There was a lot, but that was the one great play.
He's been balling out, dude.
No, I'm saying for that game, for yesterday's game, you know, Dylan Gabriel played really well. 23 for 38. So if you look at those numbers, you're like, one touchdown, 285 yards. Nothing you're not blown away by those. It's when the touchdown came. Late in the game, right there, back of the boom, touchdown, game's over. Like, that's awesome.
Super happy for Oklahoma knocking down Texas. I always love to see that.
So wait, what's the difference between Oklahoma and Texas?
What do you mean?
Oklahoma hasn't been almost as dominant throughout their...
I'd say the last 15 years, Oklahoma has had much more success than Texas. At least getting to the playoffs and having Heisman-winning quarterbacks. I mean, Oklahoma, that's why this year was super important, because it's 6-6. I mean, you can't go from 6-6 Oklahoma to 7-5. Like, you've got to bounce back.
It is always so weird when, you know, people talk about, like, Oregon's, I will say, success, but they will say lack of success. It's like, oh, how many championships has all that Uncle Phil money gotten you? Well, got us two appearances here over at Oregon in the National Football Championship games. So, like, slow your roll. We talk about Texas, Oklahoma. How many times have they been there in the last 10, 15 years? Oh, wait, crickets.
Yeah, well, and I think that the problem with them is that they actually, like, they just have a championship in their history. So it's like, Oklahoma.
They got seven.
Yeah, Texas has a championship. So, like,
and that's what I'm saying. Like, as far as, like, these powerhouses that are, you know, that are out there, like, Oklahoma, for as far as college football lore, they're one of them ones.
They are?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, they've had, the playoff appearances, the quarterbacks is great. But I hear you, Jordan. It's like they are one of the best schools over the last 10 to 15 years that haven't gotten it done. But welcome to the world of SEC ruling everything.
Is sports not a what have you done for me now lately kind of world?
Like, no, I hear you, you know. And that's, yeah. And so kudos to Oklahoma for stepping up big yesterday. Kudos to Georgia Tech for stepping up big yesterday. Listen, as a man, love Mario Cristobal. I think he's a great leader of young men. As far as clock management and game management goes, yikes. That guy, best of luck to you in the future on that, pal. And then USC, Lincoln Riley, can you just lose? Can you just take an L?
No.
I mean,
can we stop?
Caleb Williams can't lose, man.
Come on.
No, he can, because they almost did. They escaped last night.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
No, there's going to be.
Almost doesn't count.
There's going to be so much talk this week that Caleb Williams is still a Heisman Trophy leading candidate. It's like, why? No.
Yeah,
to repeat after this, he had a great year last year. After this kind of game, you cannot pull an Archie Griffin and win two Heismans in a row. You have to go perfect. You have to look perfect throwing 3 to 5 touchdowns every game and like maybe a couple of interceptions along the way.
But that, you know what they're going to look at?
He looks pretty damn good
to me. They're going
to
look at those clutch game-winning Tim Tebow jumping pass touchdown at the end of the game where it looks like you're going to lose.
How many times did Tim Tebow fumble it that year, though?
He did. It's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get up. And like that was one of the moments last night when you're what are they? Second and number one, they were first and long at a point.
Yeah, they were first and 20 in that overtime.
And had to go back and then was like 12 yards away and said, you know what? Screw it. Give me the ball. I'm going to finish this game.
They were also in that situation because, like you said, Joe, at the end of the game, that fumble, nobody took the ball on that RPO. Yeah,
that's one play, dude. Like USC,
that's the play, though.
USC isn't in any of these games if they don't have Caleb Williams. That dude has every Saturday night, right. He is having to go out there and play when he shouldn't have to because his defense is giving up points. Last night, how many times have you seen USC seemingly sit out a third quarter or sit out a fourth quarter, their first string offense? It seems like he never gets that chance because he always has to go back out there and save him.
And this is what they're going to think about too, Jordan. Yes, he was 219 yards through the air and a touchdown. He was also 3 touchdowns on the ground, including the game-winning 2-point conversion.
Contorted his body to sneak the ball in.
Look, I'm going to be out of bounds and reach with the opposite hand around to do that's difficult to do. And so, I understand, he didn't light the world on fire through the air, but he did end the game with 4 total touchdowns, no picks, and the game-winning score that pretty much put it away. And then, all of a sudden, here comes the defense to plug up that, that toss play or whatever it was at the end. And, so sometimes the trigger man ain't going to be great through the air, but what do you do at the end of the game? And I think that's what people are looking at.
I get it. I know we got to go. Those short runs, though, don't impress me. If he's putting 30 yards down into a tutty like 3 times a game, I get it. I get it. But I don't see it. That's just my opinion.
Well, you'll see it when he raises his second Heisman in December, bud.
They want to do that. They want to give somebody a Heisman twice. They don't want to keep saying Archie Griffin's the only person to ever do it. They don't want to do that.
Hey, I think we got a good chance this year. Who do you love up next? Get your picks ready. Get your picks ready, fellas, because we got to do some against the spread, over unders, whatever the hell you want to put theoretical dollars on. We do that next. Who do you love? Football Sunday.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Y'all want to win? Put Booby in. Let me spin, coach.
Yeah.
I was telling someone the other day that I probably, during football season, reference Friday Night Lights, the movie, 2 to 3 times a week during football season.
I'm trying to see what my favorite line from Friday Night Lights is.
I would have to go.
Why can't you hold on to the ball?
Donnie. Damn it, Donnie. Hold on to the ball. Or when the guy at the burger stop is like, Billingsley! Party at Taylor's house now, Billingsley! We're going to get wasted! Isn't that guy like 45? Yeah, Odessa, baby. That's how they turn up in Odessa, Permian.
I skipped work to go watch that movie. I was like, man, I don't want to go to work today. I'm going to take a day off.
Oh, I think we watched it.
And I'm going to go ahead and go to the movies.
I think we watched it the day of a football game. So, we watched that, and then we went into our football game, just piss and vinegar.
Ours was Varsity Blues.
Oh, man.
So we would watch it Friday night, or excuse me, Thursday night or something like that as a team, and then go out there and get smacked by 20.
We all went as a team and saw Remember the Titans together.
Ooh,
remember
that's
that
a good
as a
one.
Kid. So we all got fired up.
Oh, seriously. There's no way as a team you leave the theater for Remember the Titans. Let's go. Everywhere we go.
I don't care if you're white, black, orange, blue, polka dot. God, such a great movie. Let me get things started here since we're up against the clock already. 10 a.m. kick between the Texans and Falcons. Falcons are dog water. They are a 2.5-point favorite at home. I get it. Home favorites, ATL. But I'm liking the Texans. C.J. Stroud has thrown for 300 yards, I think, 3 of the 4 games and has yet to throw an interception. They are looking real good. I believe in this D'Amico Ryans-led team. I got them covering the 2.5. Texans are a 2.5 dog covering it. 2.5.
Okay.
What you got?
I'm going to go with the Saints visiting my New England Patriots favorite by a point and a half. It's been a slow go of it for the Pats this year. But here's the cold part. Every game they've been in, with the exception of the ones with the Cowboys last week where they got blown out.
That was a fluke.
Everything has been a touchdown win, you know, or right around a touchdown, 5-point win, 6-point win. So the Patriots aren't out of games. They just can't find ways to finish because their quarterback is absolutely inept. However, they're playing against a team who doesn't have a quarterback, or you know, or they still can't figure out what's what, even with David. I was going to say Derek Carr. Even with
no, it is Derek Carr.
Excuse me, even with David Carr back there, because that's who he's playing like at this point.
Yeah,
but sure. Patriots favored by 1.5. I'm taking Patriots and the points.
Patriots and the points.
This is a dangerous one, but I looked at it and kind of laughed. Miami, big point favorite, 13. They get going at 10 a.m. against the New York Giants, and Daniel Jones has basically been throwing like 3, 6, 7 yard outs all year. It's been like little chunks of yardage. They have no running back. Saquon Barkley, I'm not sure if he's still playing, if he's still out. If he is not playing, then Matt Breida will be in, and essentially he's going to get like 30 yards on the ground and maybe a touchdown. Like you can predict what the Giants' offense is going to be.
As of 18 minutes ago, Saquon Barkley officially inactive today versus the Dolphins.
Thank you. So we now know for sure it will be another 30-yard performance on the ground from Matt Breida and maybe a touchdown pretty close in the red zone if they can get that, you know, maybe it'll be like one or two touchdowns for the Giants' offense. So I will say Dolphins cover the 13 against New York today.
Oh, boy.
It's a big one. I know it's kind of a trap. That's what they like to do in Vegas, but I see the Dolphins' offense, man, a chain over a Kane. I can't remember how you say it. It's crazy. They got like two good running backs now.
You said Saints are going to cover the 1.5 against the Patriots, Rashad?
What's that?
Saints are a 1.5 dog. You said they're covering?
No.
You got Patriots covering the 1.5?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm going the complete opposite of you. I'm going the Giants are going to cover that 13-point spread somehow.
All right.
Listen, I got bit in the ass earlier this year with saying that Dallas was going to cover 12.5 against Arizona. I saw when Kansas City was playing Chicago before that game that they were also a double-digit spread favorite. I'm like, no, the double-digit spreads. Well, that was wrong. Kansas City blew out Chicago in that one. So with this double-digit spread, I'm going to try and say third time's a charm. And that we get this one right, and that the Giants somehow backdoor cover maybe to cover that 13-point spread. It's a lot of points. I know Miami's offense is good, but they showed that they are human last week against Buffalo Bills. So fingers crossed. Giants, I can't believe I'm doing this. Just make me look smart for a week, please. Rashad, what's your next one?
Let's see. So I have in division matchup with the Baltimore Ravens visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ravens leading the division right now at 3-1. Not looking great, but still winning games. They're currently 26th in passing, but they're playing a team that's 25th right now in passing. Right now the spread is Baltimore's favored by 4.5. And I think that's about right. So I'm taking Baltimore favored by 4.5.
Baltimore 4.5. Jordan.
One that you already touched on in your first pick, the Texans v. Falcons. I agree with you about C.J. Stroud. He's been absolutely just lightning. Very quick arrival onto the scene in the NFL. Seems like that growth they were waiting for at the quarterback position happened. And Desmond Ridder, couple of games down. I know that everybody, first two games in, 6-0 as a starter.
Things didn't look good in London for him.
No, you're not wrong. But they're back at home. I think it's a get-right game for Atlanta. So the over-under line on points is 42. You look at three touchdowns each team. Once again, one of those trap lines by the guys in Vegas, but I do think the over on 42 points is going to be happening here. C.J. Stroud goes for some touchdowns. Desmond Ridder has a good day. The over's easily smacked. Andy got Bijan Robinson running for you, probably two times on the ground into the end zone. I see the over.
Taking the over in Houston and Atlanta. I like it. I like it. I am going to go to Minnesota and not take the Vikings. I'm going to take Kansas City to cover the 3.5. They are 3.5-point away favorites, but I do not believe in the Vikings this year. They are 0-3, or depending on what they did last week.
1-3.
Now they are 1-3 in one possession games. That's what it was. That's the stat I'm keeping track of, because we all know last year they were like 11-0 or 12-0. But they're going up against the Chiefs.
You like that?
I do like the 3.5. That's for sure. The Chiefs covering that. I not believe in the Vikings this year whatsoever. So Chiefs -3.5.
Mm. I am gonna go with Dallas Cowboys. Joe's Dallas Cowboys, 3-1, visiting the San Francisco 49ers, the one of the two undefeated teams in the league. San Francisco's favored by 3.5. I'm taking San Francisco to cover. I think they're a better team. I think overall, including at the quarterback position, Brock Purdy's better than Dak Prescott, man. I'm so sorry, bro. And it's going to be about defense right now, I feel like, although the defense.
What'd you just say?
Yeah, I said that. I think Brock Purdy is better than Dak Prescott. Yes, off top.
All right,
off
rip. Keep going.
Off rip.
Keep going.
And at the moment, I think you have two defenses that are probably comparable, but I do think San Francisco has more, more depth on the defensive end. So I'm going to go San Francisco to cover the 3.5.
Cool, dude. Whatever. God.
Hey, man, you guys beat us by like 60 last week, man. Take that. Bad boy, baby.
This is a risky one. Afternoon game, Rams hosting the Eagles, 4-0 v. the 2-2 Los Angeles Rams, who do have a pretty great offense. Surprisingly this year, Matt Stafford looks like he's 30 years old again. He's thrown more interceptions than he has touchdowns, but you got Puka Nacua. You still got Tutu Atwell. Kyren Williams looks like he's really just exploded onto the scene at running back for them. So I'm pretty confident they'll score points
today.
And
you get Cooper 2 Girls 1 Cup back into the lineup today.
Absolutely. That's gross, Joe. We get Cooper Cup back in the lineup here in LA.
That's a Berman nickname right there. Cooper 2 Girls 1 Cup. Up with the touchdown.
Thank you, Chris.
Hopefully he didn't really say that.
You are a gem and we need to protect you at all costs. But yeah, 105 kick. The line is 4. Philadelphia favored by 4. I think the Rams do cover that. Philly will win, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a last second field goal or something.
Dude, if
like
the Rams
that.
Could win that, I would be very thankful for that. Anytime I can see a fellow NFC East foe fall, especially on Thursday night against the Bears. What are you doing, Commanders? I'm always happy about that. That is Who Do You Love? Brought to you by nobody. If you want to sponsor it, give us money. That's how it works. We go to hour number 2 here on Football Sunday. But I do want to talk a little MLB baseball because, quite frankly, the first segment's going to be a little shorter anyways, and I think that's the time to do it. We also have Fantasy Scramble at the end of the show, so if you have any fantasy questions, start sending them in now to the Vancouver Ford text line, or you can tweet us at JoeFish3, F-I-S-C-H, at TaylorMade503, or at Jordan. It is on the air. Jordan, D-O-N, not a D-A-N, D-O-N, the Don. Hour number 2, Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. Coming up next here on 1080 The Fan.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Y'all want to win? Put Booby in. Let me spin, coach.
Yeah.
I was telling someone the other day that I probably, during football season, reference Friday Night Lights, the movie, 2 to 3 times a week during football season.
I'm trying to see what my favorite line from Friday Night Lights is.
I would have to go.
Why can't you hold on to the ball?
Donnie. Damn it, Donnie. Hold on to the ball. Or when the guy at the burger stop is like, Billingsley! Party at Taylor's house now, Billingsley! We're going to get wasted! Isn't that guy like 45? Yeah, Odessa, yeah. Baby. That's how they turn up in Odessa, Permian.
I skipped work to go watch that movie. I was like, man, I don't want to go to work today. I'm going to take a day off.
Oh, I think we watched it.
And I'm going to go ahead and go to the movies.
I think we watched it the day of a football game. So, like, we watched that, and then we went into our football game, just pissing vinegar.
Ours was Varsity Blues.
Oh, man.
So we would watch it Friday night, or excuse me, Thursday night or something like that as a team, and then go out there and get smacked by 20.
We all went as a team and saw Remember the Titans together.
Ooh, that's that a good
as
a kid. One.
So we all got fired up.
Oh, seriously. There's no way as a team you leave the theater for Remember the Titans. Like, let's go. Everywhere we go.
I don't care if you're white, black, orange, blue, polka dot. God, such a great movie.
Oh,
let me get things started here since we're up against the clock already. 10 a.m. kick between the Texans and Falcons. Falcons are dog water. Dog water. They are a 2.5-point favorite at home. I get it. Home favorites, ATL, but I'm liking the Texans. C.J. Stroud has thrown for 300 yards, I think, 3 of the 4 games, and has yet to throw an interception. They are looking real good. I believe in this D'Amico Ryans-led team. I got them covering the 2.5. Texans are a 2.5 dog covering it. 2.5.
Okay.
What you got?
I'm going to go with the Saints visiting my New England Patriots. Patriots favorite by a 1.5. It's been a slow go of it for the Pats this year. But here's the cold part. Every game they've been in, with the exception of the ones with the Cowboys last week where they got blown out.
That was a fluke.
Everything has been a touchdown win, you know, or right around a touchdown, 5-point win, 6-point win. So the Patriots aren't out of games. They just can't find ways to finish because their quarterback is absolutely inept. However, they're playing against a team who doesn't have a quarterback, or you know, or they still can't figure out what's what, even with David. I was going to say Derek Carr. Even with
Derek Carr.
Excuse me. Even with David Carr back there, because that's who he's playing like at this point.
Yeah,
but Patriots favored by 1.5. I'm taking Patriots and the points.
Patriots and the points.
This is a dangerous one, but I looked at it and kind of laughed. Miami, big point favorite, 13. They get going at 10 a.m. against the New York Giants, and Daniel Jones has basically been throwing like 3, 6, 7 yard outs all year. It's been like little chunks of yardage. They have no running back. Saquon Barkley, I'm not sure if he's still playing, if he's still out. If he is not playing, then Matt Breida will be in, and essentially he's going to get like 30 yards on the ground and maybe a touchdown. Like, you can predict what the Giants' offense is going to be.
As of 18 minutes ago, Saquon Barkley officially inactive today versus the Dolphins.
Thank you. So we now know for sure it will be another 30-yard performance on the ground from Matt Breida and maybe a touchdown pretty close in the red zone if they can get that, you know, maybe it'll be like 1 or 2 touchdowns for the Giants' offense. So I will say Dolphins cover the 13 against New York today.
Oh, boy.
It's a big one. I know it's kind of a trap. That's what they like to do in Vegas, but I see the Dolphins' offense, man. A chain or a cane. I can't remember how you say it. It's crazy. They got like 2 good running backs now.
You said Saints are going to cover the 1.5 against the Patriots, Rashad?
What's that?
Saints are a 1.5 dog. You said they're covering?
No.
You got Patriots covering the 1.5?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm going the complete opposite of you. I'm going the Giants are going to cover that 13-point spread somehow.
All right.
Listen, I got bit in the ass earlier this year with saying that Dallas was going to cover 12.5 against Arizona. I saw when Kansas City was playing Chicago before that game that they were also a double-digit spread favorite. I'm like, no, the double-digit spreads. Well, that was wrong. Kansas City blew out Chicago in that one. So with this double-digit spread, I'm going to try and say third time's a charm. And that we get this one right, and that the Giants somehow backdoor cover maybe to cover that 13-point spread. It's a lot of points. I know Miami's offense is good, but they showed that they are human last week against Buffalo Bills. So fingers crossed Giants, I can't believe I'm doing this. Just make me look smart for a week, please. Rashad, what's your next one?
Let's see. So I have in division matchup with the Baltimore Ravens visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ravens leading the division right now at 3-1. Not looking great, but still winning games. They're currently 26th in passing, but they're playing a team that's 25th right now in passing. Right now, the spread is Baltimore's favored by 4.5. And I think that's about right. So I'm taking Baltimore favored by 4.5.
Baltimore 4.5. Jordan.
One that you already touched on in your first pick, the Texans v. Falcons. Agree with you about C.J. Stroud. He's been absolutely just lightning. Very quick arrival onto the scene in the NFL. It seems like that growth they were waiting for at the quarterback position happened. And Desmond Ridder, a couple of games down. I know that everybody, first two games in, 6-0 as a starter.
Things didn't look good in London for him.
No, you're not wrong. But they're back at home. I think it's a get-right game for Atlanta. So the over-under line on points is 42. You look at three touchdowns each team. Once again, one of those trap lines by the guys in Vegas, but I do think the over on 42 points is going to be happening here. C.J. Stroud goes for some touchdowns. Desmond Ridder has a good day. The over's easily smacked. Sandy got Bijan Robinson running for you, probably two times on the ground into the end zone. I see the over.
Taking the over in Houston and Atlanta. I like it. I like it. I am going to go to Minnesota and not take the Vikings. I'm going to take Kansas City to cover the 3.5. They are 3.5-point away favorites, but I do not believe in the Vikings this year. They are 0-3, or depending on what they did last week.
1-3.
Now they are 1-3 in one possession games. That's what it was. That's the stat I'm keeping track of, because we all know last year they were like 11-0 or 12-0. But they're going up against the Chiefs.
You like that?
I do like the 3.5. That's for sure. The Chiefs covering that. I not believe in the Vikings this year whatsoever. So Chiefs -3.5.
I am gonna go with Dallas Cowboys. Joe's Dallas Cowboys 3-1, visiting the San Francisco 49ers, the one of the two undefeated teams in the league. San Francisco's favored by 3.5. I'm taking San Francisco to cover. I think they're a better team. I think overall, including at the quarterback position, Brock Purdy's better than Dak Prescott, man. I'm so sorry, bro. And it's going to be about defense right now, I feel like, although the Cowboys defense.
What'd you just say?
Yeah, I said that. I think Brock Purdy is better than Dak Prescott. Yes, off top.
All right,
off
rip. Keep going.
Off rip.
Keep going.
And at the moment, I think you have two defenses that are probably comparable, but I do think San Francisco has more depth on the defensive end. So I'm going to go San Francisco to cover the 3.5.
Cool, dude. Whatever. God.
Hey, man, you guys beat us by like 60 last week, man. Take that. Bad boy, baby.
This is a risky one. Afternoon game. Rams hosting the Eagles 4-0 v. the 2-2 Los Angeles Rams, who do have a pretty great offense. Surprisingly this year, Matt Stafford looks like he's 30 years old again. He's thrown more interceptions than he has touchdowns, but you got Puka Nacua. You still got Tutu Atwell. Kyren Williams looks like he's really just exploded onto the scene at running back for them. So I'm pretty confident they'll score points
and
today.
You get Cooper 2 Girls 1 Cup back into the lineup today.
Absolutely. That's gross, Joe. We get Cooper Cup back in the lineup here in LA.
That's a Berman nickname right there. Cooper 2 Girls 1 Cup with the touchdown.
Thank you, Chris.
Hopefully he didn't really say that.
You are a gem and we need to protect you at all costs. But yeah, 105 kick. The line is 4. Philadelphia favored by 4. I think the Rams do cover that. Philly will win, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a last second field goal or something.
Dude, if the Rams could win that, I would be very thankful for that. Anytime I can see a fellow NFC East foe fall, especially on Thursday night against the Bears, what are you doing, Commanders? I'm always happy about that. That is Who Do You Love? Brought to you by nobody. If you want to sponsor it, give us money. That's how it works. We go to hour number 2 here on Football Sunday. But I do want to talk a little MLB baseball because, quite frankly, the first segment's going to be a little shorter anyways, and I think that's the time to do it. We also have Fantasy Scramble at the end of the show, so if you have any fantasy questions, start sending them in now to the Vancouver Ford text line, or you can tweet us at JoeFish3, F-I-S-C-H, at TaylorMade503, or at Jordan. It is on the air. Jordan, D-O-N. Not a D-A-N, D-O-N. The Don. Hour number 2, Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. Coming up next here on 1080 The Fan.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.